Closing the door on fear. Closing the door on fear.
I wonder today if you do right at this moment or have ever suffered from fear of any kind. Be honest. Anyone ever suffered from fear? All right, I know I have from times past, you know, and when fear comes on you, sometimes it almost paralyzes you. I can remember one time a fear tried to grip me when I was actually ministering to someone who was on their deathbed. And this fear, almost a paralysis, got a hold of me, and I really had to stand against that and get the victory on it. Right there, as a minister of the gospel, when I'm ministering life and power of God to someone else, this thing attacked me. And it really came in with a great force, and I had to stand against it. Perhaps some of you don't like flying in airplanes. And maybe you don't like to be in little cupboards like that. And maybe you don't like being in open spaces. There's all these various phobias that we have about, you know, maybe you don't like dogs or being in boats, or you don't like loneliness, you don't like noise, all various fears and phobias. But today I want to share with you how you can close the door on fear. How you can close the door on fear. And I'd like you to look to Norman's favorite scripture, if you would, for a moment. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. We'll read that, and then I'll read another scripture, and then we'll just minister as the Lord directs us. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Now, as we go through this afternoon's teaching, you're going to learn what a spirit of fear is. And you're going to be surprised when you find out what a spirit of fear is. We have this idea, you see, that a spirit of fear is this thing that sort of goes around the place, you know, and comes and attacks us. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches about a spirit of fear. I'll show that to you this afternoon. See, fear is the devil's number one weapon. You realize that? If you take sick, it's usually because, well, I'm afraid I'm going to get the cold, or I'm afraid I'm going to get the flu, or I'm afraid, or whatever. And so fear is the devil's number one weapon. But God wants his people to be free from fear. Fear is a miserable thing, and fear has torment. The Bible tells us that. Look at 1 John chapter 4. And I'll read this reference to you. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect." Now, when he says herein, you need to know what herein is. You read verse 16, and it says, "We have known and believed the love of God, that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Herein. Now, herein the fact that God is love, and that we dwell in love, and we dwell in him, and he dwells in us. Herein all of that, which is verse 16, is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in the world. Now, there's a lot in that, and you must ask yourself, well, how is Jesus today? Is he sick? Okay, well, as he is, so are we in the world. Is he poor? No. Well, as he is, so are we in the world. Is he troubled by fear? No. Well, as he is, so are we in this world. And then we go down to the next verse, which is verse 18, and it says, "There is no fear in love." I mean, that's a statement of the Bible. There is no fear in love. I mean, there's no question about it. There is no fear in love. If you have the love of God within you, there is no fear that can be in you. There is no fear in love. And yet Christians continually confess, I'm afraid. You know, Pastor, I'm sorry, I can't lead the singing this week. I'm afraid. I can't do this, you know. I'm afraid to do that. But all the time the Bible has already told us there is no fear in love. Now, either the Bible is true or what you feel is true. Your choice. You either believe the Word of God or you believe what your feelings tell you. And as I said before, fear is a miserable thing. It has torment. And fear opens up the door to the devil to come in and attack you. Fear stops your operation of faith, because fear and faith are opposite ends. Adam was created with the faith of God, and the first thing he said after he sinned was, "I was afraid." First words came out of his mouth, "I was afraid." He went from faith to fear in one movement. And it will stop your faith, and it will stop the power of God if you allow fear to dominate your life. You wonder why things are not happening. You wonder why God's power isn't evident in your life. Well, most times it's because we have allowed fear to come in. See, the enemy will try to get us into that place of fear. But you and I do not have to yield to the instructions that he whispers to us. Because God has given us specific instructions how to overcome fear. The Word of God tells us very clearly, and we'll look at it in a moment in Philippians chapter 4. It tells us there how we can overcome fear. Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Now there's the key to overcoming fear. In the first part of this verse, Paul tells us here, he says, "Be careful for nothing." The word careful means anxious. Don't be anxious about anything. Don't get uptight. Be anxious about nothing. Don't take the care of anything, is another way of saying. Don't take that care on yourself. You know, we sometimes, when you minister to someone else, you know, they say, "Oh, pastor or brother, sister, whatever it is, I've got this great problem." And you sit down and you talk with them and you counsel them and you advise them. You tell them what the Word says. And you know, they walk away and they say, "Wow, it's great to be free." And they leave you sitting there and you're feeling miserable because you've just taken the care of their problem. But the Bible says, roll that care over onto the Lord. And if you're being used in any way in counseling, you've got to learn to let it go to God. Otherwise, you'll be the one that needs to be counseled after 2 days because you take everyone else's problems. So you've got to learn not to be anxious or not to be concerned. Be anxious for nothing. Don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. Don't worry about a thing. These are all different ways of saying what Paul said here. And in this verse, I see there are four basic areas that Paul is talking about. And I want you to write them down. They're important. There's care, anxiety, fret, and worry. Care, anxiety, fret, and worry. They're all contained in this verse in the Greek translation. Now, why did Paul say to get rid of these four things? Care, anxiety, fret, and worry. You know why? Because they are fear with four different disguises on it. It is fear coming at you from different ways, coming at you from different directions. Why doesn't God want us to worry? You may say, "Well, you know, I'm worried about the fact I got nothing to worry about." Some Christians get like that. You know, when they start to get into victory, they get almost a complex about not having anything to worry about. They get a complex about not being sick anymore. Get a complex about being able to pay all their bills on time. When they get into victory, they begin to worry about, "Well, what's happened? You know, I used to, when I was a Christian in the early days, I had all these problems. Now I feel guilty because I haven't got any problems." That's the devil trying to get us back into worry and fear again. All these things are fear in different disguises, as I said. And if you worry, fear, that's just fear. Worry is just fear. The Bible tells us that worry is a sin. And it opens the door for Satan and it closes the door for God. It opens up the doorway and Satan will come in and make havoc of your life because he will bring things for you to fear about. And God doesn't want us to fret, because whenever we fret, then we worry. And when we worry and fret again, the door closes on God and it opens up to the enemy. See, in any given situation, we can pray and we can believe that we can receive the answer. But if we continue to take the care or the worry or the concern about it, then we begin to get anxious. And we just read there that we shouldn't be anxious about anything. Because if we get anxious, then we tie God's hands and God's power is not able to be released to bring the answer in that situation. So don't be anxious, Paul says. Don't worry. Don't fret. Don't be concerned. Because the enemy will do anything he can to get you as a child of God into fear. He will bring all sorts of ideas and thoughts to bring you into fear. The enemy knows that if he can come in and just get you tied up in a fear situation, then he has you defeated. Because when you get into this area of fretting, worrying, and being concerned, God cannot move. So when you get free, stay free. Don't think back on those things, you know. Well, I used to have this problem. Forget it. Paul says, forget those things and go on. So many people, you know, they come and they have ministry, and the pastor, the elder, the deacon prays for them, and they have a great time of rejoicing, and they say, well, thank God, I'm free from that. You know, before they've gone out through the door of the church building again, they've just lifted it back on their shoulder. Does the story sound familiar? How many of you have ever read Pilgrim's Progress? What did Pilgrim do? He had this great burden. We'll call it a bag of sin, if you like. And he used to set it down and he'd get free. And then he'd get a little bit and he'd say, oh, I forgot something. He'd go back and lift it up again. Well, Christians are like that. They get free from the problem and they get a few steps down the way and they say, I'm missing something. Oh, where's all my fear and worry and frustration and sickness? And they go back because they're more comfortable with it than they are without it. And the devil wants you to keep comfortable in those areas. He doesn't want you to be free. And if he can get you to worry and fret and be anxious, then he will certainly take care of your situation very adequately. But if you pass that over onto the Lord, as I said, 1 Peter 5:7, casting all of your care upon the Lord because he cares for you. Anyone reading an Amplified Bible this afternoon? Any Amplified Bibles? No. It says, he cares about you watchfully. The Lord is concerned about you. He wants you to have the very best. And if you will roll that over onto him, roll that burden onto the Lord, don't keep it, let it go. Now, I want you to notice that all these disguises that we've been talking about here, this worrying and fretting and being anxious and caring, they all have one thing in common. And this is the key. Can you tell me what the key is? The four words again that we gave you were worry and fear and anxiety and care. Apart from the fact that they're all negative. They're all in the thought area. They're all thoughts. They're not actual manifestations. They're only thoughts. And if the devil can pop a thought into your head, for example, you know, a cold wind blows up and you got a little child and your little child is out there in the garden and you suddenly realize, oh, it's raining or it's getting very cold. You say, oh, come in, Johnny or Debbie or Joan or whatever your name is. You'll get the cold. You've just had a thought that is not according to the Word of God. You're saying, because of the circumstances, you, child, are going to get the cold or the flu. So what have you done? You've just allowed the devil to put that thought into your mind, and you've given birth to it by speaking it out. See, when a thought comes into your mind, if you can allow it to die, then it will die, and I'll use this word and you'll understand, it'll die stillborn if you don't speak it. You only give birth to it when you speak it. See, thoughts really won't do you any harm. It's when you give voice to them. But you need to bring those thoughts, and we'll get into this in a moment, into some form of captivity, and the Bible tells us how to do that. Well, I think I'm going to go broke. I'm not going to be able to pay my bills this week. Well, what have you done? You've just given birth to a thought that the devil placed in your mind. You've just given birth to it. You've allowed it to come forth. You've brought it forth by the very words of your mouth. See, right out of the sky. I mean, here we are. Look out today. Take a look out there. Do you see any clouds up there? Well, we say right out of the bright blue sky, suddenly you get a thought. I've got a pain in my body. It must be a heart attack. It must be cancer. What are we doing? We're just receiving all these things that God says, don't be anxious about them. Don't worry about them. We're just receiving them and we're giving birth to them by our voice. We're allowing them to come forth. They're from the enemy. They're not even your thoughts. Do you realize that a whole lot of things you think about are not your thoughts? Think about it. Let it get in. Let it penetrate the cotton wool, as we say. See, I used to think that every thought that came into my head was mine, but it's not true. Some of those thoughts come from God and some come from the devil. We need to be able to discern which are from God and which are from the devil. And if the enemy puts thoughts into your mind, just to see if he can get you to believe them and begin to speak them out, then if he does, he's got you right where he wants you, because you've given birth to the idea by speaking it out of your mouth, and it becomes an action, because it says in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinketh, so he is. As a man thinketh in his heart. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you think it, you're going to speak it somewhere along the line. And then you get it. It becomes a part of it. These thoughts are part of Satan's weaponry, or part of Satan's artillery. And do you realize that all of the devil's armory consists of four things? I'll tell you what they are. Write them down. They're going to help you in these days. Four things that the devil has. This is all he has. He has nothing else. They are, number one, circumstances. I'm talking about the devil's biggest guns, beloved. I'm talking about the things that he uses against you. The first one is circumstances. The second one is symptoms. The first one is the circumstance. The second one is the symptom. The third one is imaginations. And the fourth one are thoughts. Four things. That's all he has. He has circumstances, symptoms, imaginations, and thoughts. Now, that's a pretty poor arsenal for anyone to be using. I mean, could you imagine if the Australian Army went out against some other country and all they had was circumstances, symptoms, thoughts, and imaginations? I mean, they wouldn't make it to the first airplane to get off the ground. And that's all the devil has. And we allow him to run roughshod over us many times. He gives us a thought, an idea, and we think, oh, I've had a little sniffle, I'm taking the flu, it must be. Oh, I've got to have that, because after all, it's the time of the year and the blossoms are out, and I suppose, well, you see, you've just got it. Can you realize? See, we're not of this world. We're of another world, beloved. We're aliens. We don't belong here. All right. So Satan uses these weapons to create fear in our lives. And if we do that, then we open up the door and he begins to dominate. He begins to take control. And if Satan can't get you with the original thought, then he'll certainly stir up a circumstance or a symptom, or he'll follow it through with an imagination to try and get you to really believe that what he's saying is real. Like I said before, when you get that pain in your body, your next thought is, uh-oh, particularly if it's in this area. Men, more so, I suppose, than women, they say, oh, that must be my heart. You've had a circumstance, that is, a symptom has come to you, and then the thought comes. See, if he doesn't get you with the pain, he'll get you with the thought. Can you understand that? He follows up continually, trying to bring you down. Maybe you're listening to the news, and you're saying, well, the news is saying how bad the economy is. I mean, Australia's going down the gurgler real quick. If you listen to the news, that's what they say. Well, I don't care what the news says. It doesn't affect God's economy one little bit. But if you listen to what the enemy will tell you from the goggle box or from the newspaper or whatever way you get your information in, then you'll begin to be concerned. And you'll say, well, if the dollar devalues again, and I mean, I owe so much money on my house, and I've got to make a payment every month, and it's this, and if the value goes down and the interest rates go up, I'm not going to be able to make it because of the level of salary I'm on. So what are you doing? You're just allowing him to keep feeding you imaginations and ideas and thoughts that are going to cause you to go down the gurgler real quick. Do you understand me this afternoon? So these are the weapons that the devil will use against you. And if Satan can get you to dwell on these thoughts, then he's got us in the area of fear, because we become fearful. But if you don't take those original thoughts, then there's nothing that he can do about it. Do you remember 2 Timothy 1:7? We said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but he has given us a sound mind. A sound mind. All right. Now, if fear is a thought, as I'm suggesting to you this afternoon, how do we deal with the thought? How do we get rid of the thought? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I mean, you know these scriptures. They're not new scriptures to you. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Go down to verse 3, 4, and 5. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. So even though here you are on planet Earth, even though you live in Frankston or Seaford or Coringle or wherever it is, you don't belong here and you're not fighting any battles here. The battle's already been fought and won. But you have got to stand against these realms that would come in against you. It says, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Then he goes on to tell you what the strongholds are. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So, now listen to me what I'm saying. A spirit of fear is a thought. Now you're listening. A spirit of fear is a thought. And that tells you how to get rid of it. It says, you bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Jesus. Who is Jesus? He's the Word of God. So you bring those thoughts captive. What it says, if you read through some of the other translations, it says, you take the thought, you bind it in chains, you make it a prisoner, take it to the Word. And you check it against the Word. And the Word declares, I can do all things through Jesus who strengthens me. And the thought you had was, I'm never going to be able to make it. So you've just cast it down. You've just brought it down. Spirit of fear is a thought. All right. Turn over to the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew chapter 6. See, you don't have to take what comes into your mind. You don't have to receive it. You have a choice. You can shut the door to it, or you can let it in. Last Sunday night, we talked about the fact that we had authority over all the power of the enemy, those of you who were here. Now, in Matthew chapter 6, if we go down to verse 25, Matthew 6, 25, the words of Jesus. Jesus said, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? You see, God knew that we were going to have to deal with thoughts. God knew that the devil's armory was very limited, but the area that he was going to attack the church on more than anything else was their thought life. And come in by circumstances, come in by imaginations, come in by these thought patterns. And that's why he said, even back there in the beginning of the Gospels, through the lips of Jesus, don't make any thought. When it comes in and says, what are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? See, that's what he's saying. Are we getting through? He says, don't take those thoughts. Don't let those thoughts come in. Keep them under control. Keep them out. How? By bringing them captive to the Word of God. Don't speak them out of your mouth. Take no thought. Don't receive any thought for your life. What you shall eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is the life not more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Take no thought. Go down to verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Now listen, you've got to see this, beloved. Let me read the verse again. It says, therefore, take no thought. What's the next word? How do you take a thought? I've just told you, by saying it. Take no thought, saying. He says, don't receive that thought by saying it. Let it die before you give any birth to it, is what he's saying. Take no thought, saying. What are we going to eat? What are we going to wear? How are we going to be clothed? See, you've just given birth to those thoughts. You've begun to create an atmosphere by your words. The devil has given you the thought, he has attacked you, and you've received them, and you've taken them by saying them. When we start to say those thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God, we then take them as our own. See, if you give birth to something, it's yours. So we say, well, these are my words. Jesus said we are justified or we are condemned by the words that come out of our mouth. And if a thought of fear comes into your mind, don't say it. Say what God's Word says instead. When that thought comes along and says, well, as a family, we're not going to make it. I mean, times are hard and we're having difficulties. We're going to go under. Don't ever even breathe that thought. Start to say what the Word of God says. Because when the devil says you're going under, Jesus said, no, you're not. You're going over. He said to the disciples, let us go over to the other side of the lake. Halfway out, storm comes up, circumstances change. They hear the storm, see all these things, and they wake Jesus up, who's sleeping in the boat, and they say, don't you care? We're all going under. And yet, 5 minutes before, he stood on the edge of the shore, and he says, we're going over. See, how soon we forget what the Word of God says. And we're just like the disciples, beloved. No different. We've got to get the victory in these areas and start to say what God says. The enemy's putting a thought into your mind, then you will either run with the thought or you'll run with the Word. It's a choice. You've got to make a choice. Either you're going to come back and say, devil, it is written. Or you're just going to accept it and say, well, I can't do that. I've got this fear. I'm not going to be able to. And you start confessing either the Word of God or the word of the devil. If the enemy's been trying to put fear on you in a particular area. Now, a lot of you put up your hand and say, yes, I've experienced fear. Maybe today you're afraid of going in a lift, you know, going up to the next few floors up in a building. You know what you want to do? Get in a lift that goes up at least 25 or 30 floors. Take your Bible with you. Start reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if the lift was full at the ground floor, there'll only be you and your Bible and Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John when you get to the seventh floor. Powerful words. Get in a lift with your Bible and start looking at it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Read it out loud to yourself. Find a building that there's not many people around and ride up and down in a lift for a few days. Just read the Word of God to yourself. Say, devil, are you listening? See, I'm not afraid. I'm going up. I'm stopping in between floors. I'm going up and down. I don't care. The Word releases the power of God. Maybe you're afraid of animals, you know. Some people are afraid of dogs. Well, find the biggest dog you can and go up there and just hit it over the head with your Bible. Now, for all you dog lovers, but what you need to do is start building yourself up on the Word. God has not given me a spirit of fear. God hasn't given me a thought of fear. See, that's what it says. God hasn't given me thoughts of fear, but He has given me a sound mind. Let me just leave a few other references with you. Go back to the book of Proverbs. And we'll finish in about 3 minutes. Proverbs, just after the book of Psalms. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 2. It says, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Well, how did those words get there? Well, they started out as thoughts. Where did they come from? Well, they came from the devil. He placed those thoughts there. And so you're taken by the thoughts. When you think you can't, you won't. Proverbs 15. 15, verse 2. Proverbs 15, 2. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The tongue of the wise useth knowledge that is right. There's another reference, and I can't remember where it is right now, but it says the tongue of the wise is health. Verse 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness, or something that is going against the Word of God, is a breach in your spirit. What's a breach? That's a hole or a gap that the enemy will get through. Proverbs 18, verse 7. A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snare of his soul. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. See, folks, that even though there is a law of death working in this world, the Bible says that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, Romans 8, chapter 2, has made me free from the law of sin and death. You can dominate the law of sin and death, which has been in operation since Adam, with your words. You listening to me? You can dominate the law of sin and death with the words that you speak. We had another one. Where is it? Oh, I read it. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Folks, we need to close the door on fear and start saying what God says. And if you have an area in your life that you recognize that there is a fear in, you know, some people have fears, and I'm not saying they don't exist. They're real, but they're thoughts. And you need to bring those thoughts down. And if you will bring those thoughts down, bring them subject to the Word of God, you will close the door on fear. I have another teaching tape on overcoming fear of failure. And you need to close the door on fear. You young people, if you're going through college and you're worried about not getting good results or not making it at the end of the year, close the door on that fear of failure and start saying what God says. Start saying what God says. Start getting your confession lined up with the Word of God. Start agreeing with the Word of God. And when you do, you release the power of God. Romans 1:16, I think it is. The gospel, the Word, is the power of God. You release that power when you say it. As you release it, you close the door in the enemy's face, and he will not bother you again. All right, that help you this afternoon? Okay, praise the Lord. Let's sing a song, and we'll close our service today. What do we got there, Charlie? That one there will do. Praise the Lord.